This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from the supper table and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." And we'll stop right there for right now. We're probably all familiar with the four spiritual laws. The first law is God has a wonderful plan for your life. Isn't that great to know? That God has a plan for you, a purpose for you, that you are not the result of random chance. There's a reason that you're here. And the reason even predates your birth. Of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." I've been reading in my devotions through the book of Jeremiah, and it's fascinating to see these prophets. I finished Isaiah, now I'm in Jeremiah. These prophets who went not only to Judah and Israel, but they went to the surrounding nations. God doesn't want to limit his word. He said, "My word will not return to me void." He wants the nations, all of the nations, to hear about what he's done for them. And that's why we support missionaries. That's why we have the missionaries' newsletters in your bulletins, so we can be reminded about the ones that we support on the mission field. It's good to see that we're a little bit over, I think, for the month of August, if you look in your bulletin for our missions. We could use your help here at the church, but the missionaries, and that's so important to make sure that those missionaries are getting the support that they need. Jeremiah, there was a purpose for his life. He was one who was sent to Judah and to Israel, to other nations. He was, you could say, a missionary taking the word of God to those nations that God wanted to be warned about what was coming in the future. Esther is another example. In the most godless nation in the world at that time, even in the writing of the book of Esther, God's name was not to be mentioned once. I think it's the only book in the Bible that doesn't mention the name of God. Esther was worried about going into the presence of the king, her husband, because if you weren't summoned, you could pay for that coming into his presence with your life. And her uncle when she expressed her concern, wrote back to her and said, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this." I look at Esther's example and I wonder, well, what is the time? What is the purpose that God has called me? Who in my life am I to reach out to with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who will be saved because of the words that I speak? I'm not sure about salvation coming in another form or through another person. But I certainly don't want to miss out on the pleasure of serving God in that way. He has a reason for you, as well as he did for Jeremiah and for Esther and for Jesus. John the Baptist said Jesus was the Lamb of God. And we sang about that in the first worship song we sang this morning. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Jesus, the purpose for his life was his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his glorification. Now, they were at the Passover table. The feast of the Passover was the remembrance of a historical event. God passed over the homes of the Israelites when he brought death into every Egyptian home. The feast of the Passover was the remembrance of an Old Testament prophecy. The feast of the Passover was the foundation of the Lord's Supper that we celebrate this morning. Coming to the table, we celebrate the Lamb of God, which gave himself a sacrifice for our sin. In our church, there are two ordinances, baptism and communion. Baptism is a once-in-a-lifetime event that relates to our being born again. Some people have been baptized more than once. Some were baptized as babies and then baptized by immersion when they trusted Jesus as their Savior later on in life. But usually it's a one-time event. Communion is a regularly occurring event that relates to our walking in this new life. So how many times should we have communion? As often as possible. Some churches in the past have had it every day. Some have it every week. Some have it like we do every month. It's a regularly occurring event that we as Christians can look forward to. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, God commanded Moses to have a place for the priests to wash their hands and feet before approaching the altar. If they were not washed, they would die. We read about that in Exodus chapter 30, verses 17 through 21. It says twice in that passage, verses 20 and 21, they shall wash their hands and their feet so that they will not die. We see Jesus here washing the feet of his disciples. He got up from supper and laid aside his garments. He took a towel, put it around his waist, and he started to wash their feet. It wasn't an honorable action. It was usually the lowest slave in the household who washed their feet. Jesus' party, his disciples, ate dinner that night with dirty feet. The Passover, the most important feast in Israel's calendar. Nobody even thought about washing anyone's feet. Only Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man. Deity and humanity got up from the table and washed their feet. They must have watched and wondered. Peter wasn't the first. The text seems to imply that when Jesus came to Peter, he started making his objections. Peter's question, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" His exclamation, "Never shall you wash my feet." And then his final resignation, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." So first he said, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Simple obedience was required from Peter. It's required for us as well. Because most of the things that happen in our lives, we're not really too sure why they happen. Why is God allowing certain things to happen in our life at this time? I listened to a message this week about Job. And the speaker said that Job in the Old Testament was a counterbalance for the promises of God in Deuteronomy. As we have so many preachers today preaching a wealth and health type of gospel, a name it and claim it. And there seems to be that kind of evidence in the book of Deuteronomy that if you live a good life, God is going to bless you with physical things, with barns full of food, with health, with all kinds of good things. But then there was Job. And Job had lived a good life. And he had been blessed by God. And all of those, his family, his wealth, and even his health were all taken away from him. And when those guys came, his friends, came to give him advice, they were preaching right out of the book of Deuteronomy. And if you read Job, this is good advice that they're giving. But God was giving Job a different reason to live than just all the goodies he got from God. He was saying, "I bless you, but I take away all those blessings, I can give them back again." But Job understood that he was to live for God's glory and not for the things that he received from God. Well, next Peter said, "Never shall you wash my feet." And the Lord again said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." "You don't understand what I'm doing now, Peter, but I want you to simply obey. And if you don't obey, you don't have a part in me." There's some things that we as Christians just need to do because they're commands of the Lord. You know, we don't even have to have a good reason why. And this was one of those things for Peter. The last thing he said is, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." I was trying to find a good illustration of that. In fact, I thought of Charlie Brown's pig pen. But he did need his hands and his head. All the pictures I found, he was dirty from head to toe. But since we have these two ordinances in the church, we have baptism, which is once and for all. We're clean. We're free from sin at that point, the penalty of sin at that point. But we walk in this life. We walk in this world. And because we walk in this world, our feet get dirty. We see things that we shouldn't see. We go places where we shouldn't go. Yesterday, we went to the fair. And I was reminded as we were down watching Kendra and the horses and the horse horsemanship or the horse girlship or whatever you would call that, that horses just go to the bathroom wherever they want to go. And that as you're walking around, we're talking about, you know, all this free fertilizer that's just laying on the ground all over. You can just come bring a bag and collect it all and bring it and put it in your garden if you wanted to. But you have to be careful where you walk. And sometimes as Christians, because we live in this world, we step in it. You know, and we have to have our feet cleaned. The Lord said to Peter, he who has been bathed, which could be baptism, needs only to wash his feet where he's coming into contact with this world, and then he's completely clean. When do we do that? As soon as you get dirty. I don't know, if you step in something at the fair, you don't say, well, I think I'm going to wait until I get home to wash my feet. No, you don't want that to be on you for that whole time. You know, you don't want to be tracking that. There's a perfect time today to confess our sins at the Lord's table before we come and take the bread that represents his body and the juice that represents his blood. To go back and say, Lord, is there anything that you want to bring to my mind that I should confess to you this morning? And allow him to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Imagine as I read this poem. This poem was so well protected on the internet, I couldn't even find out who wrote it. It's called Washing Judas's Feet. I wonder how he felt that night as he knelt looking at the sight of the feet that would betray him. Did he stay a little longer there, aching for these feet in care, the ones that would betray him? The other feet he would see again, but these would never enter in, the feet that did betray him. I wonder if he did them first, aching still to quench the thirst of the one who would betray him. And did Judas know this was God that knelt and washed the dirt he trod from the feet that would betray him? What tenderness he must have shown, for to him all things were known, even feet that would betray him. He had such a servant's heart. I wonder, did he end or start with feet that would betray him? I've read the story, and still I wonder, and it sends a chill. Would my feet have betrayed him? He washed them, and he cleaned them up, and then broke bread and did with them sup, even with the heart that would betray him. I wonder if he looked in those eyes and ached to turn him from his lies, this heart that did betray him. He never quits and never leaves, but I know that his soul still grieves for the hearts that still betray him. My Lord knows the ones he'll see again, the ones who will never enter in, the hearts that will betray him. I wonder, Jesus, did you take a little longer and ache just a little stronger over feet that would betray you? Oh God, help me be like you, the same, to serve you and despise the shame of washing feet that would betray you. Please, Lord, help me, God, to feel the love, be kind and gentle as a dove to feet that would betray me. I wonder, did Judas know that this was God? Help me, Lord, to not think it odd to wash the feet that would betray you. What does Jesus want? According to the next verses, he wants us to have a servant's heart, to wash each other's feet. That is, he wants us to have a servant's attitude. He wants us to seek forgiveness before coming to the table. He wants us to put others ahead of ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we now come to this table of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the sacrifice you made. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus, which paid the price required for us to come into your presence. We thank you that by faith in that sacrifice, we can be called the children of God. Help us not to take for granted the sacrifice you made on the cross of Calvary. We also thank you that as we walk in this world, that you forgive us our daily sins, that when we sin in thought, word, or deed, you are ready for us to come into your presence to express our sorrow and our repentance, our turning away from those sins. You freely forgive us all our sins. Not only do you forgive us, you also cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We certainly don't deserve this. But like Peter, we submit to your washing away of all our sin. As we come to take part in your table, would you reveal any sin in our lives, that we might receive your forgiveness, and that we might come to your table cleansed from all unrighteousness. Bless us now as we come in Jesus' name. Amen.